This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
This morning we're talking about confidence. And confidence is something that is absolutely worth keeping. Our confidence in what we have going on in life, your confidence in one another, your confidence in yourselves, and especially your confidence in God. And what we're going to find is confidence sometimes can be fragile. It can be impacted. Some of the things that can impact confidence, one, are setbacks. I'm a big sports fan. I enjoy all Houston sports. I enjoy the Astros winning the World Series. I'm enjoying the Rockets in there, but my confidence has been up and down with the Rockets. And it was up, and then it was down, and then it was really up again. And then when they went up 3-2, I was confident. And then we had a setback when CP3 was hurt. And so my confidence has waned. And so oftentimes when you see a setback, something happens and it's negative and it's a setback, it can impact confidence. Broken trust can impact confidence. Maybe you have confidence in someone else and they let you down, or they do something that breaks trust, and that impacts the confidence. Expectations not being met, or unrealistic expectations, can impact confidence. Maybe you're expecting this and you got that. And that often, it's difficult. Down in South in Mississippi, they had a big courtroom scene, and the prosecuting attorney, Mr. Williams, called his first witness. He called Mrs. Jones to the stand. Now, Mrs. Jones was an old Southern Mississippi grandmother. He thought, well, she's going to be so credible. And sure enough, she comes up there, very conservative dress, had her pearls on, big smile. She sits down, smiles real sweetly. And Mr. Williams said, Mrs. Jones, do you know me? And she looked at him, she smiled. She said, well, yes, Mr. Williams, I've known you since you were a child. And frankly, you've been a huge disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, you manipulate people and talk about them behind their back. She said, you think you're a big shot, and you don't have enough brains to realize you're no more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you. The prosecuting attorney was so stunned, he didn't know what to do. So he just kind of reflex turned and said, Miss Jones, you know the defense attorney? She said, Mr. Bradley, yes. She said, I know Mr. Bradley, known him since he was a child too well. She said, he's lazy, he's bigoted, he has a drinking problem, can't keep a normal relationship with anybody, not mention to say his law practice is one of the worst in the entire state, and he's cheated on his wife with three different women. Yes, I know Mr. Bradley. But the whole courtroom's buzzing by this time, and so the judge finally gets ordered, he motions the two attorneys to come to the bench, and he leans down and says in a very quiet voice, if either of you two idiots ask that old woman if she knows me, I will send you to the electric chair. You expected this, you got that. And that can impact confidence. When Joy and I were first married, she was so disappointed. Her confidence in marriage, she thought for the first time that she wouldn't have to sleep with a night. Joy used to sleep with a nightlight and her Bible in her bed. I'm like, I'm in now. And so nightlight's off, Bible's gone beside the bed. And she thought I would hold her all night. We would sleep just cuddled up like this all night. And I'm like, oh, no, this is your side. This is my side. You don't know. You got all those covers. No, it hurt her confidence and took years to get that back. But anyway, the idea is confidence can be impacted, but there are some things worth keeping. And confidence in God is something that we're encouraged to keep. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who had actually left the Jewish faith and accepted Christ as their Savior. And because they had done that, they were getting persecuted. And persecuted so much that some of them were actually leaving their Christian faith and going back into Judaism. Look what he says here in Hebrews 10. He said, therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You see, we have confidence in the unseen, not the instant. The unseen, not the instant. So our confidence is in God, but things don't happen instantly. And so that's why I encourage us, we have need of endurance or perseverance. And perseverance is something that when things don't happen instantly, we're not to throw away our confidence in God. We're to stay in there because it may not be instant, but God comes through. And He's worth trusting. And His promises are faithful. And so we can stay with Him. Brian Wilkerson was a marathon runner. I've never run a marathon, don't intend to. And I used to run middle distance, and so I know a little bit about running. He said he ran a New York City marathon. He said, when you first start off with the New York City marathon, he said, it's like a big party. He said, there's 28,000 plus runners. He said, man, you start off and there's people running in costumes. He said, your first 13 miles are through the very scenic boroughs of Queens and Brooklyn. He said, it's beautiful that you're running. It's kind of like, you could feel like you could run forever. He said, but after mile 13, you cross over into Manhattan and you go north. He said, the crowds thin out. There's not as many people cheering. He said, and around mile 18, he said, you hit a wall. He said, when you hit that wall, you're just physically and mentally exhausted. He said, he was just, you feel like, why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this? He said, he ran past the first aid tent and saw people lying there with an IV in their arm, and they thought, lucky dogs. He said, I didn't want to. He said, you don't want to run anymore. And so you're just, everything within you is just saying, quit. And then he realized something. He said, we're running north of Central Park. Central Park's behind me. He said, my car, my ride is back in Central Park. I don't have any money. I don't have any way. I've got to get back to Central Park. He says, I might as well just keep running. I didn't think about the miles. He said, all I thought about was putting one foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. He said, and after a while, the miles will take care of themselves. He said, and when you cross the finish line, he said, I don't care if you came in 10,000th place. It is all glorious. I was thinking about that, and I thought about our race. Many times people lose their confidence, and they're thinking, I don't know if I can live this Christian life. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can do this. My encouragement is, don't give up. You just don't throw away your confidence in God. You keep putting one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and one day this is all going to be over. And when you hit that finish line, you're going to be so glad you did. You're going to be like, this is good. God is good. Confidence can be lost. Confidence can be found. And this morning, I'll give you the story of a man in the Bible. He's not a Jewish man. In fact, he's a foreigner. But he finds confidence, he loses confidence, and he gets it back. His name is Naaman. He's a Syrian general. He's a warrior, mighty man. And we're going to read his story here in the book of 2 Kings. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who's from the land of Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Naaman had his confidence sparked by simply listening to what a little servant girl said when she said, I wish my master was in Israel because there's a prophet there that can get him healed. Now, it's amazing that this man would listen to a captured slave, someone who came from a defeated land, and yet he listened because oftentimes when we get hungry for answers, we're willing to listen. And he was willing to listen. And he went to the king and he told the king, he said, man, I want to go into Israel. This is a foreign country. I want to go there. And he wanted to move closer toward that Israeli God. And so he was willing to do that. Not only, now we didn't read it here, he took a lot of money with him. So he was willing to pay for it. He really is an honorable man, but he heard something, that God was doing something, that God could do something in his life, and it sparked some confidence in him. So he goes and shows up. And I mean, that was a big, he had just a big crew that showed up. They had horses and chariots and people carrying the money, and there was soldiers. I'm sure it was very impressive, like a parade. And they showed up in Elisha's house, and Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends his servant. Servant sticks his head out and goes, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. See ya. Click. And Naaman's like, what? What? He just received a promise. That was a promise. It was a promise of healing, but it was conditional. go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And this guy went away mad. Man, he came a long way. He brought a lot of people. He went through a lot of trouble. And he doesn't even, and then you hear him talk, because he said, I said to myself, and he already figured out how God was going to do it. He said, he's going to come out here. He's going to wave his hand around. He's going to call on his God. Now, you have to understand, this guy had never been to church. He'd been serving at the church of the temple of the god Rimmon. That's just a foreign god of Syria. He'd never been to church. So all he'd seen was their priest, and man, they had a show. When you don't have something real, you need a show. And so they had fire, and they had pyrotechnics, and they had waving their hands around. They would cut themselves. They'd do all kinds of crazy stuff. And so a servant sticking his head out the door going, go dip, and shutting the door. He's like, dog, boy, that's not good. I don't like this at all. He's mad. Now he's mad. He already figured out how it was going to happen. And then he didn't like the message either. Go dip in the Jordan. That's a nasty river. I've seen better rivers. I've got better rivers than this in my home country. I got 2 rivers better than this river. I don't want to go to this river. Why do I have to go dip in this river? And it doesn't make sense. Why go dip? Dip 7 times. Why can I dip 1 time? 5 is my favorite number. Why can I dip 7 times? You can see how he's balking at the promise. The promise had conditions. He's balking at it. But one thing about this guy that you have to give him credit, he's got a one redeeming quality. He's got some humility about it. He's willing to listen to other people. And I'm sure his servants probably approached him because he's mad. They're probably like, Mr. Naaman, sir, we're here. Why, you know, if he told you to do something big, you'd have done it. Why? Just go dip 7 times, sir, respectfully. And I'm sure Naaman probably took the idea of, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? So he goes down, and he probably had someone counting for him. 1, 2, 3. He's probably looking for changes, doesn't see any changes. 4, am I done? No, that's 4, sir. 3 more dips. Dipped again, and the 7th time he came out with skin that was completely clear. But he did something else you have to give him credit for. Instead of going back to Syria going, man, I can dip like nobody can dip, man. I can dip. He went back and went back to Elisha. And what he did was he didn't change churches. He changed gods. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, there's no God in all the earth but the God of Israel. All these other gods, man, nothing. Your God is the real God. And he offered to pay him money. Elisha wouldn't take it. But you see how he honored God. He had confidence, and he lost it, and he got it back. How about you? What impacts your confidence in life? Your confidence in God can be impacted. Let me give you some things that will impact your confidence. Here's the first one. What you hear will impact your confidence. What you listen to. If you're constantly listening to negative things and just feeding on things that have no value, it'll impact your confidence. I was actually talking about this in our Wednesday night service, and the very next day I read an article by a writer who is a secular writer. I don't think he has any religious affiliation at all, and he wrote an article that said, stop overdosing in celebrity gossip, social media, and news. And what he was saying was, we have so much input coming in today. It's so easy, he said, to just feed on things that don't really change our lives. We feed on things that don't really have a positive impact. We watch the news only because it's a habit. We watch certain shows because it's a habit. You get on social media, it's a habit. But is it helping you? Now, this was a secular writer saying this. But I'm saying the very same thing. Listen, if all you hear is negative, 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 it will have an impact on you. There have been times in my life where I've cut off just some things. And for a season, I read the news, I read what's going on, but there have been times I cut off things and just said, I'm going through a time, all I need to hear is something good, because conversely, hearing negative things can take a toll, hearing positive things can help you and build you up as well. And so what happens is we become intentional about our input. That's why I'm big on reading the Bible. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can say confidence comes by hearing. As I've watched over the years, I've been a sports fan over the years, I can remember when I was growing up, when a quarterback or someone that played ball reached about 30, they used to talk about them as being old. 30. They're old. I've noticed, if you have noticed today how players are staying longer and longer, they're staying longer and longer. One of the reasons they're staying longer and longer is they're changing, sports science has changed what people are putting in their bodies. No longer, there used to be the training table was, eat a steak, eat some mashed potatoes, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, you'll be okay. Yeah, you'll be done at 30. Now, you got guys saying, I don't drink during the season. I watch what I eat. I monitor everything. Why? Because they recognize that what you put in you is going to have an impact on you. Listen, if that works for the body, how much more does it work for our souls? We need to put things on the inside of us that have value, that build us up and keep us in the game longer. What you hear will impact you. The second thing is this. In your confidence, you can't give up on the promises of God. You've got to be able to guard your confidence in God's promises. You know, when Naaman got that promise and it was conditional, Naaman could have said, oh, forget it. I'm going home. Forget it. It doesn't make sense. Forget it. And how many times have we received promises from God and we haven't held on to them? And oftentimes they're conditional. But there's promises, of provision, of protection, of peace. And I want to just give you one this morning and I'm going to show you how you can receive it and how it make a difference. Is there anybody in here that said, you know what, I'm going through some stuff. I could use a big dose of the peace of God in my life. I would appreciate that. Okay, there's at least four of you. Okay, so let's go right here. Here's the promise. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now see, there's a conditional promise that's as very much as real as go dip. Now you can read that and go, oh, I don't believe that. That doesn't work. You won't receive the benefits of it. You can look at that and go, well, that just doesn't make sense to me because I haven't figured out yet how, if I just give my things to God who I can't see, I don't understand how that's going to work and how he's going to make, listen, stop trying to understand it and just believe it. You can make a choice just like Naaman did to go, Lord, I don't understand everything, but you said you don't want me anxious, so I'm not going to be anxious. In fact, I've got this situation in my family. I'm asking you for your help. Show me what to do. Give me wisdom. Help me in this situation. And Lord, I thank you for the answer. I thank you for the answer, and I thank you for your peace that can pass all understanding. See, we have to take a look at God's promises and go, I'm going to do that. And that's going to pay off. You heard Bob talk about people who begin to tithe. What are they doing? They grabbed onto the promises of God. He said, if you bring all the tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There are so many promises, and we just have to be willing to go, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe his promises are true, and I'm going to stay on with those. So those will impact you. Humility and thanksgiving will help you. Humility is not saying I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Humility is simply saying, God, I believe you're smarter and better, and if these things don't work out, it's not your fault. I'll make the adjustment. I trust you. And thanksgiving, well, thanksgiving is the great attitude adjuster. If you can go through life with thanksgiving, you can keep your confidence right together and in check. Here's the last one. Our confidence is a different way to live, but it's a better way to live. Guys, I'm looking around now at our country, and there's like a tsunami of fear that hits our country. We see it happen down in Santa Fe, and now you've got parents afraid to send kids to school. You see all the negative things that are going on in the media, all the negative things, and people are like, I don't know who to trust anymore. I don't know who to believe anymore. I'm losing confidence. They say confidence in America has plummeted. But I really believe that we can be a different people. We can have a confidence when no one else has a confidence. Because let me tell you something. If government's your God, you're in trouble. If the media's your God, you're in trouble. If God's your God, you still have someone to have confidence in. Look what it says here. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're not looking at just what we see around us. We're looking beyond that to God, to his promises, to his faithfulness to us. We have a confidence in an unchangeable God, in an everlasting kingdom. I read a story the other day I thought would bless. It just blessed me, and I thought it would bless you because when I read it, I thought, this is our God. Rabbi Zacharias, some of you probably heard of him, great Christian apologist. He works with a guy named Michael Ramsden. And Michael Ramsden told this true story of an Iranian minister, an Iranian evangelical minister. How many of you realize that even in Iran, in Iraq, and in the Middle East, there is a Church of Jesus Christ that's rising up? But you talk about some persecution. These guys go through it. I mean, you can lose your life over there. This Iranian minister and his wife were driving through a small village when they pulled into a store to get some water. As they pulled in the store, they saw a man leaning on the outside of the store, just kind of leaning against a wall, fierce looking, big, long beard, and a machine gun in his hands. The wife looked at the man and then looked over at her husband, and she reached down, she handed her husband a Bible. She said, "You need to give him a Bible." He said, "What?" She said, "I'm serious. You need to give this man a Bible. You need to give him a Bible." He looked at her and went, "I don't want to do that." She said, "No, give him a Bible." He said, I thought this was wisdom, "I'll pray about it." And so I thought, "I've been where you've been, brother. I know that. I know that." He gets out of the car. He has the Bible with him. He goes into the store. He comes back and sits in the car, still has the Bible with him. His wife said, "You didn't give him the Bible, did you?" He said, "No, I prayed about it. It didn't seem right." So they drive off. And she's looking at him. She goes, I really wish you'd given him that Bible." He said, "I prayed about it." He's looking straight ahead. He's like, "I prayed about it and it wasn't right." And she said, I really wish you'd do that. And then she bowed her head. She began to pray. He turns the car around. I can just see the guy. I'm like, I can so relate to this guy. He turns the car around and he goes, "Fine, if you want me to die, I will." They pull up. The guy's still leaning, machine gun, still leaning up against the wall. The Iranian minister walks over and he puts a Bible into his hand and he said, "We wanted to give you this." The man looks at it and at the Bible, he sees it's a Bible and he starts to cry. And he looks up and he said, "I'm not from this village." He said, "I had to walk 3 days to get to this village." He said, "Because 3 days ago, an angel appeared to me and said, go to this village and wait until someone brings you a book of life." That's our God. He's still doing amazing things. He's doing it amazing. I read that and I went, that's right. That's our God. He hasn't lost his power. He hasn't lost his ability to fulfill his promises. He is still as true and as powerful and as real as he ever was. We're not living in the day when miracles have passed away, because our God of miracles has never passed away, and he's still doing amazing things to anyone who will simply believe him. That's our God. And he's worth having confidence in. Greatest promise that he's given us is one that applies to everybody. It said, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a wonderful promise. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you came this morning and said, "Alan, I don't know that I've ever received the promises of God. I never received his promise of eternal life, or I'm not sure and I want to be." Or maybe you're here and you say, I've done that, but I know I've gotten away from God and I want to come back. We're going to say a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or get out of your seat. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, "Alan, would you pray for me?" Would you quickly just slip up your hand and say, "Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thanks. Thanks. Great. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else?" Yes, way in the back. I got you. Thanks. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. We're going to say this prayer. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. But you thought, "I missed it. I didn't lift my hand." No, you can still pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Pray it out loud so you can hear yourself pray. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, those who stepped out of darkness into light. Father, we give you all the praise for that, all the thanksgiving. And Father, for those of us here, for those who might have been losing confidence, for those who are giving up on you, Father, thank you. We'll not throw our confidence away. We'll trust you in a bigger and bigger way. And Lord, we thank you. You're doing wonderful things in our life today. I give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.